Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UWL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. I am your host and the beat reporter at the Tribune for UWL Football and all of college sports. Coming back on here on Sunday, about an hour before NFL kickoff, a wild win for UWL on Saturday up at UW Stout. A 23-29 win in overtime to spoil Stout's homecoming. The winning play coming off a strip sack and a 67-yard return by sophomore linebacker Rusty Murphy. A wild, wild end to a game that, with about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it looked like UWL had it pretty much in hand, but credit Stout, they made a great comeback and got a couple calls went their way, and they made a couple of big plays and tied the game up right at the end there, but we'll get into all that. A quick show rundown for you. We got to talk about this defense. They really stepped up on Saturday. Really won the game for the team after a tough fourth quarter, and especially with how well the defense had played in the second half right until that end when Stout got a couple of big plays their way. But got to start with them. We'll talk about the ups and downs of the UWL offense during this game, which it's funny. We talk about the inconsistency with some young players having to step up in big spots, but it's not just week-to-week inconsistency. It's series-to-series, and we'll talk about that. And then we'll give a quick look at Stevens Point, who comes to UWL next week for Week 6. Another tough test, another pretty good defense coming in. We'll get into that a little bit later. But let's start with this defense. If you're at the game or you're following along with my tweets, you know that UWL blitzed the house pretty much the entire, almost the entire game in about 80% of the second half. And it was about as aggressive as we've ever seen Mike Schmidt as a head coach and defensive coordinator and kind of the defensive overwatcher, and then also defensive coordinator Matt Janis. This is probably about as aggressive as you're ever going to see those two guys blitz. And they did pretty much the same thing against Stout last year when they're at UWL. And one of the reasons for it is because Stout's offense, when the running game got shut down, and UWL did a really good job against the run this week. The front seven did their job well against one really powerful back and another pretty good back who ended up getting hurt in Rayshon Graham. But the way that Stout's offense ran was that if the running game wasn't there, they were just going to take shots deep. I mean, Mike Schmidt said after the game that Stout ran the same four vertical routes pretty much the entire second half. And when a team's going to try to take deep shots like that, you can either drop a bunch of people back and hope you play coverage, or you can pressure the quarterback and just not give him time to let receivers get downfield. And obviously, UWL chose door number two there. And they just brought pressure again and again and again. And, you know, when you're watching that game from up in the press box, it's fun to see just that many blitzes, but you kind of hold your breath every time because anytime you blitz, you're really putting your secondary on an island. And they respond to that task pretty well against some bigger, taller receivers. But talking to Mike Schmidt after the game, he said they kind of had to make that choice where Stout was going to go deep. That was kind of how the game went for them, and they had some success, got some big plays, but they're going to go deep every play, so they just had to heat them up. They brought linebackers like Rusty Murphy, Elijah McGeehan up the middle, and then guys like Josh Dorschner, and especially Ryan Flathers, a senior defensive end, just had an incredible game along the defensive front. Flathers had 3 sacks, the most important one obviously being the one that went in overtime to cause the fumble that Rusty Murphy picked up and took the rest of the way. But a great performance by him. And he's a guy that got hurt last season, was going to be a big part of their defensive line last season, gets hurt, comes back, was pretty much full strength from the start of training camp, has continued getting better and better. And this was a game that he really abused both tackles, moving around a little bit on the defensive line, but especially the right tackle. He was able to get around him pretty much at will. And even when he wasn't getting sacks, he was creating pressure, forcing Sean Borgerding, the Stout quarterback, to roll out and really just controlled the game from the defensive end spot. And for a defense that has had really good, you know, halves or three quarters of games, it kind of looks the same when you look at the stat sheet. because obviously Stout makes that comeback, and I'll just kind of describe that in a second here. But I think this was arguably, outside of maybe Illinois Wesleyan, probably the best the defense has looked for a full game. Wesleyan puts up a lot of points. We know that it was, what, 34-31, but the way the defense was able to shut down Stout for so long in this game and to really make them one-dimensional. I know when a team's able to tie the game late, it kind of looks like, oh, the defense made some mistakes. And, yeah, there were a couple of tough plays that lacrosse probably shouldn't have let up. But when you're playing man-to-man like they do and you're taking the risks they were in blitzing, when they finally did pick up a blitz in on the Stout side, it did kind of leave receiver one-on-one with a defensive back, and they could make a couple of those plays. The touchdown that ended up tying the game, even in the press box, that was, you know, all Stout people outside of me, everyone said, wow, that was a push off. So I think they got Stout got away with some offensive pass interference there. But that was just one of a couple of rough calls that went against UWL. That was the second of a series of tough calls against UWL, in the sense that the drive that Stout scored on with the offensive pass interference basically was set up by what the refs called a fumble after a decently long conference. From my vantage point, I thought Austin Mankoski, the running back, who caught a little shovel pass in the backfield, I thought he was down. I thought he'd gotten tripped up and was just reaching across. When his elbow hit, the ball came out, but was ruled a fumble, and then Stout ties the game. The thing that this defense did, I thought, so well, they made Stout one-dimensional, but then when they got close to the quarterback, they didn't let him escape and really put their secondary in a tough spot. Obviously, they end up with 7 sacks, and that's a great number. It's by far their most this season. But when you're pressuring that much, you have to make sure that if you're going to put your secondary on an island so often, that when you're near the quarterback, he's either not getting a throw off via the sack, or he's kind of just throwing it away or throwing it short just to avoid a sack. And I thought that UWL defensive line and linebackers that were blitzing as much as they did a good job of that. But jumping over the offense a little bit, like I mentioned, just the inconsistency. UWL comes out, the whole theme this week was starting hot on offense, getting things going right away. And they do that. A couple of short runs makes it third and manageable, and then senior quarterback Ben Schramsky hits junior wide receiver Cole Speaker for a 35-yard pass, gets the offense kickstarted, do a play-action pass to Zach McManus, another big gain, a couple of big runs with Austin Mankoski, get him down to the 1-yard line, Schramsky keeps the read option, he scores, and UWL's on the board right away. Probably their best drive to start a game all season, in my opinion, but then you see the next drive, things just don't click. You know, there's a missed block on one pass that then becomes a throwaway for Schramsky, a short run, then it's third and long, and they've had so much trouble with third and longs all season. Obviously, it's a tough play for any offense, but this offense just has not been able to find those plays with any consistency yet this year. And that was just kind of the way the game went. The advantage that lacrosse had was that Jake Simonchak in the return game, punt returns and kick returns, continued to set them up with really good pass or really good field position, and then all the sacks that UWL was getting and all the third and longs that the defense was forcing was putting Stout in tough punting situations. So they got half fields a couple of times. One of their drives that ended up getting them a 2-score lead started at the 50 because of good Jake Simonchak return, and then Schramsky hit Speaker for another for a touchdown. On a nice, it looked like a fake screen with a wheel route. I had to watch the tape on Monday with Coach Schmidt, but it looked like it was a fake screen, and Cole went on a wheel route for a really nice touchdown, and it was a perfect throw, and Cole ended up getting hit on it, got a face mask that helped the field position battle again on the kickoff. But it's one of those things where you have these great plays, and you have these great drives by the offense, that everything clicks, and then the next one they'll come out and look like they haven't played together all year. It's something that it's hard to build consistency. It's hard to build the continuity with an offense that had so much turnover. But now we're heading into week 6, and we've talked about it on this podcast before, and Coach Mike Schmidt's talked about it with the team and in public, that every game from here on out is pretty much a playoff game. They've got to win out to have a chance at the playoffs, and this inconsistency that the offense has been having is just – is not going to get it done when they place where they face really good teams like Oshkosh and Platteville in the coming weeks. So they've got to find a way to kind of shore those things up. And again, not to just harp on the offensive line, but when Ben Stramski has to scramble as much as he is, any quarterback that faces the amount of pressure that he was facing, Stout blitzed a lot in their, on their end as well, which it's hard to pick up those blitzes when it's coming that often. But when any quarterback, even Ben Stramski, as good as he is, has to scramble as much as he is, the mechanics start going awry, the decisions just kind of become, let's not get sacked, or let's throw the ball away, let's kind of just live and fight for another play, or they kind of just, things break down when a quarterback's under that much pressure. That's what I'm trying to say. And UWL's offense has to know the rest of the teams in this conference are going to watch this tape, see how they handle this pressure, and see, hey, if we can heat up the quarterback, it's really tough for them to get the offense moving. So I would expect other teams in the coming weeks to blitz as much as Stout did, and I think UWL's offense is going to have to be ready for some of these drives where we have to take a deep shot to Cole or Dominic Levalarte, who had a touchdown, take some deep shots to these guys just to kind of hopefully get the defense off our backs or hit one of those for a touchdown and just get off the field quickly and not have these pressure plays continue to stack up on this offense. I think one thing that was an improvement, at least, was that when the drives of the offense did click, we saw Austin Mankoski have a really good game for UWL. 22 rushes, 111 yards. It was the offense's first 100-yard rusher of the season. And when the offense was clicking, the offensive line was moving the guys off the ball and getting solid blocks and creating some lanes. Mankoski was running really hard, breaking tackles, falling forward, all those good things. So we saw flashes of UWL's offense can do these things when everything's working right. All 11 guys are doing the right things and making the plays that they need to, doing their jobs on a play. It looks as good as it's ever had this season against Stout. It just, there just seems to be so many more times where there's one or two mistakes or there's one guy that gets blown up on the line or whatever ends up being that just derails everything and makes them be behind the chains and have such tough times converting third downs. Again, I think it ended up being 7 of 16 on third downs this week, which is pretty decent, but just not the consistency that they want to have, and the lengths of their third downs that they're missing are really tough. But moving forward, this offense has to be ready because Stout blitzed them so much that other teams are going to do it, especially this week with Stevens Point, because historically Stevens Point has been a team that's going to heat up every quarterback they face. They're under a new coaching staff now, but they've historically been a team that's always going to blitz, so this offense has to be ready kind of moving forward. Want to talk about that comeback by Stout a little bit. Just the way the defense for UWL was playing after Stramski hit that touchdown to Cole Speaker, UWL goes up by 14. Stout actually blocks the extra point, which ended up coming up huge because had they been up by one, Stout would have had to get a two-point conversion on one of their two touchdowns late in the game, and who knows what happens there. But the way that Stout was able to come back was they finally picked up the pressure that UWL was bringing, and then they kind of just chucked the ball up. And when Stout was able to get a couple of those big plays, get some momentum going, their quarterback, Sean Borgerding, he's a freshman that's won that job out, was under pressure all day, like I've been saying, but when he finally got a little bit of time, he showed that he is going to be one of these talented guys, one of the probably top-end quarterbacks in this league for a couple of years now, because some of the throws he was making, they were kind of 50-50 jump balls to receivers, but some of the throws deep down the field with some really good accuracy, there aren't a ton of quarterbacks that can make those throws, so they were able to make the comeback because they picked up the pressure, but just the ability that Borgerding had to stay calm under all that pressure and deliver the ball downfield is going to be an issue that any time lacrosse plays Stout in the next few years, that's going to be one of their key things that they have to watch going forward. But looking ahead to Point for this week, Point's playing some pretty good defense right now. 2 weeks ago, they lost to Platteville, but they held them to 20 points, which Platteville's offense is pretty high power. That's an impressive performance. And then this week, they beat Eau Claire on the road 9-3. Held them to 3 points. Obviously, scoring 9 is not great, but hold any WIC team to 3 points is going to be tough. So, and like I mentioned, Point is a pressure team. They might not blitz entirely as much as Stout does, but their goal on defense for a long time has always been to pressure the quarterback. So UWL's got to be ready for that. And how they handle it, whether it's with some maybe delayed runs, doing some different things with screen passes, which we saw a couple against Stout, but maybe UWL adds a couple of more for the Stevens Point game. We'll have to see. But offensively, Point is a lot like Stout in the sense that they're a team that's going for the big play. They've got a couple of great receivers on the outside. Steve Hara is a 6'4", 6'5", kind of hybrid tight end wide receiver, almost like a Cole Speaker for UWL. He's going to be a matchup problem. UWL doesn't really have a person that can match up with him if he's on the inside. It might be a situation where they have to just throw Colton Demon on him no matter where he is and not do the boundary and field stuff like the defense normally does. But it's going to be a pretty similar game, I think, in the sense that Point's going to try to pick up UWL's pressure and then just kind of chuck it up downfield and figure out where they can go in a big play sense. And for a long time in the Stout game, UWL did a good job eliminating those. And when they didn't, that's when Stout scored. So it's going to be one of those things. How do they just consistently throughout the game limit those big plays and make sure, as Mike Schmidt always says, that they don't directly lead to touchdowns, because you can let up a big play and then still get a stop. And UWL did that at one point where they let up a strip sack on offense and then Stout was in the red zone right away. Defense got a stop and forced a field goal. But you've got to figure out a way to do that consistently and throughout the whole game and not kind of fade out like they have in the last couple of fourth quarters. So that's kind of what we're looking at for this week. And from my side, I'll have a story up on lacrossetribune.com on Tuesday. Some type of follow-up feature from the Stout game. Obviously, as crazy as it was with the overtime win, you can read a couple of stories that I already have up on lacrossetribune.com from that game. Thursday, hoping to have a podcast and a story with the couple of the assistant coaches from UWL. They have three that I can think of off the top of my head, at least three, former players who are now assistant coaches for UWL, former players from last season even, helping out along the defensive side, and some cool stuff from them, kind of the transition from being a player to now coaching and getting their feet wet in that profession. And then obviously everything kind of leading up to the Stevens Point game, the game preview coming Saturday, looking around the league, all those type of things. So that will all be on lacrossetribune.com, and I appreciate you guys listening. We will be back later in the week, and we will see. I'm recording this before the D3Football.com ratings come out, but there is a chance UWL is getting votes. They were 26th in the poll, essentially. There's a chance they might get ranked now with another win, especially with a couple of the top 25 matchups that happened, but it's going to be tough to see who falls out in that bottom range that might help UWL move up and get ranked this week. But we will see what happens there. We thank you for listening, and we will be back next week.